U.S. automakers built nearly 13 million cars and trucks last year. Automotive News in Detroit says Japan built 10 million and South Korea 3 million. Paul Eisenstein is publisher of thecarconnection.com. He says China is another Asian country emerging as a competitor.
Back in the days when Mao was alive and when it was still a truly communist nation, they were building about 5,000 cars a year. Right now, the numbers seem to be about a little over 2 million that they'll build in China this year. And some folks are saying that by 2025, they'll be rolling out well over 20 million cars and trucks a year, which would make China the largest auto-producing nation in the world.
So they're making cars. Are the Chinese buying cars?
Yeah, that's the interesting thing. You would wonder how they can afford it, because the average income over there is still only a couple thousand dollars a year, maybe $4,000 or $5,000 in some of the cities that are doing best in this economic boom that they have. But they're buying cars, and in fact, they're buying fairly expensive cars. We're not just talking about government officials, but even Chinese individuals are starting to buy cars in large numbers. The actual sales of passenger cars, in other words, not commercial vehicles, is increasing 20-30% a year. And these are going to this whole new class of middle-class folks, and particularly the entrepreneurs.
Now, what'll happen if China joins the World Trade Organization?
Well, that's going to get tough. It's not a nation that builds things efficiently. Productivity is very low. So when the World Trade Organization imposes a lot of new rules on China, they're going to be faced with the possibility of a flood of automotive imports. And if they don't get more efficient very quickly, they could see a lot of competition really beating down a lot of their homegrown auto plants. Even worse, they face a real challenge to Chinese auto parts suppliers who are terribly inefficient. You know, most of these guys are still operating under the rules of the days when you were all about employment, not about profit.
So the U.S. automakers are getting ready for a Chinese market?
Yeah, the U.S. automakers have been investing big time. General Motors, for example, has put about $1.5 billion into China. They have two major joint ventures, and they're about to complete a third. Ford Motor Company recently got approval, and there's a lot of restrictions there. They got approval to open up a new assembly plant there. Honda, BMW, and of course Jeep and Volkswagen have been there for years, and they are the dominant forces in the Chinese market.
And how's the Chinese government responding?
Well, the Chinese government controls just about every aspect of its auto industry. It's very tightly regulated. But in preparation for the WTO, they're letting down a lot of their old controls. So, for example, automakers are now, for the first time, being told they can set their own pricing. The government won't tell them how much to charge for a car.
Could China become another Japan or Korea?
Well, the difference between China, Japan, and Korea is that Japan and Korea originally blocked foreign manufacturers from working there. So you had homegrown companies like Toyota, Hyundai, Daewoo, Nissan, who were protected and became world powers. China really doesn't have the technology or the money, so they have taken the approach of inviting foreign manufacturers in to enter joint ventures. Eventually, there should be only about three Chinese car makers, homegrown car makers. Right now, there's 119. But the question is, will they be able to build cars on their own, or will they simply be the local partners for foreign manufacturers? That's a big question. If they get the know-how, and they'd like to become the next generation Toyota.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bob.
Paul Eisenstein publishes thecarconnection.com.